May I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Andrew Abel Benjamin Alexander Hawks, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Israel Bialp Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and an honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yeshua Abel now into the sanctuary. I'd like to turn to our first speaker, Michelle New Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, information must be chapter 5912. The title of my speech is They Don't Know What They Worship. In the name of the Creator, wash removed from the inspired scriptures, bring deception to the whole world. Please turn to Revelation 12:9. Found on page 979. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil. He Satan deceived the whole world. He was cast out with his angels with her. They don't know what they worship. Even in the day of Yahweh, Prophet Jeremiah, the majority of tribes stopped using and had forgotten the name of the Creator was Yahweh. Even after he told them, the gods won't help. Please turn to Jeremiah 11, verse 12, found on page 582. It says, Then the cities of Yada and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods Elohim to go offer incense, but they will not be saved in the time of trouble. Pasuk law number 14 says, Do not worship or vow in name of any gods. Please turn to Exodus 20:23-13, found on page 64. All things I have said to you, be careful and to them make mention of name of inner gods, let it be Let from your mouth. May God bless your understanding and like to have the next speaker.
I'll turn it over to the next speaker, the great Deacon Yeshurun Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of God be with each and every one of you. My title today will be Rebellion Will Be Destroyed. In the Unveiling Satan book, on page 103, it says, in order to wipe out sin and all the suffering that Lucifer has brought into the world through rebellion, Yahweh must wipe out all disobedience to each one of his 613 perfect and righteous laws. Rebellion means a resistance, an opposition to an authority. Please turn over to 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, on page 235. And it says, because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the same as iniquity, and God worship, the worship of Elohim, because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he also has rejected you from being king. Rebellion and stubbornness toward the words of Yahweh, which are his laws, is sin and iniquity. Please turn over to Deuteronomy 31, verse 27. And it says, for I know how rebellious and stiff-necked you are. If you have been rebellious against Yahweh this day, while I am yet alive with you, then how much more will you rebel after my death? This is an example. The 12 tribes were stiff-necked and rebellious to their teacher, Moshe, and to Yahweh. Obedience means submission, compliance, yield, or in agreement with. You can be, please turn over to Ephesians 5, verse 22 to 27, on page 919. And it says, wives, submit to your own husbands, just as to the Messiah. For the husband is as the head of the wife, just as the Messiah is the head of, just as the Messiah is the head of the called out ones. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the called out ones are subject to the Messiah, so the wives are to be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as the Messiah also loved the called out ones and gave himself for them. In order that he might sanctify them, cleansing them with the law as with water, that he might cause the glorious called out ones to stand by his side, not having spot nor wrinkle, but that they would be holy and without blemish. By being obedient, by submitting to your authority, your head or your ruler, obedience makes us holy and without blemish. Rebellion will not be in the kingdom, only obedience will. Please turn over to Revelations 22, verse 12 through 15. And it says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work will be. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who keep his laws, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates into the city. For outside are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and worshippers of gods, Elohim. And everyone who professes to love yet practices breaking the law. Obedience by keeping Yahweh's law will bring rewards and blessings, which is eternal life. Rebellion by breaking Yahweh's laws is outside the gates where there is destruction. If you want to be inside the gates of Yahweh's kingdom, don't rebel. Obey your authorities. And if you all please stand. I'll turn it over to the great Kahan, Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. It's a real joy to be here in Yahweh's house at this time. Man, these secrets that Yahweh is showing his house are just really something. And the well never runs dry, does it? Okay. Can I have my first slide? Today is Abraham 29, 2018. And isn't it interesting who just spoke before me? Yes, it means Yeshurun. Yeshurun. And Yeshurun means beloved Israel. And, you know, just to point out also that that's speaking about everyone who's joined themselves with Israel. Okay? The true Yisrael of Yahweh, as the apostle said. Okay? Now, also, let me go to the next. Let's go to the next slide. You know, I want you to be thinking about some things during this sermon. I want you to be thinking about Otis and Maggie's child, 1074. That's our great overseer, the great Kohan Israel Abel Hawkins. Otis and Maggie's song. Think of the Otis and Maggie songs that you've heard when you're listening to this sermon, and these things will come back to you. 1074. You know, I remember one song in particular that talked about my son Yisrael, pure and righteous, beloved Yeshurun, pure righteous son, 1074. Okay, well, it's going to get better. Can we go to the next slide? Now, I have an admonition for those that still are hanging on the fence. In Hebrews 4:7, you don't need to turn there unless you can't see that slide there. But we're told, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, or in the psalm that David wrote, today, after so long a time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Don't harden your hearts. Don't be stubborn and stiff-necked. Remember, that's the 666. And that word today in Spanish, maybe this will help you because it's talking to you, House of Yahweh. The word hoy in Spanish, or House of Yahweh, is the word today. So, House of Yahweh, listen. Don't harden your hearts. You came here because you believed in Israel Hawkins. Who has bewitched you? As the apostle said, you know, there's no other place. Let's go to the next slide, please, because we don't want to have the hardened heart, the 666, and we don't want to be falling away from this great work, the 666 as well, right? So let's go to the next slide, and we're going to focus on Isaiah 49, the first five or six verses here, but it says, listen, O countries or isles, to me. Listen, you people from afar. Yahweh has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother, he has made mention of my name. And we're going to return to that in a few moments. First, we got to cover some other things. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. Okay? In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide, just so we can show who this is talking about. You remember in Hebrews 4:12, it says the word of Yahweh, the law and the prophets, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Revelation 11:5 says, if any among them determines in his mind, now this is speaking of the two witnesses, okay? If any among them determines in his mind to commit sin, the every word of Yahweh, the law and the prophets, like the two-edged sword of fire, proceeds out of the mouth of the spokesman of them. Well, who's the spokesman of them? That's right, it's Israel Hawkins, okay? And you're going to be corrected. So if you're corrected by Israel Hawkins, rejoice. He wants us in the kingdom with him, okay? Let's go to the next slide. We're going to continue in verse 2 of Isaiah 49. And it says, he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me. Can we have the next slide? If you jump down to Isaiah 49:6, it will explain who was hidden and why. And he said, it is not enough that you, Israel, should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the protected of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles, so you'd be my salvation to the ends of the earth. And remember, the great pastor, the great white buffalo, was hidden to restore. And if you look at side note G in your book of Yahweh, side note G on page 561, side note F says that word, restore, it means, to rejoice, cause to answer, convert, and deliver. And side note G, the word protected, it means, remember Revelation 12:14, the woman to guard, to protect, to keep. Revelation 3:10, it quotes the hidden thing, Psalm 91. Remember the secret place of the Most High? We're all being hid under the shadow of protection here at the house of Yahweh. Remember, that's what Yisrael was given to us for. Okay, let's turn to the next slide. Continue in verse 2. It says, so he has made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand he has hidden me, and he made me a polished shaft. Can I have the next slide? Okay, so you see Isaiah 49:2, the polished shaft. Well, who's like the polished shaft? Says 1074. Now, who's that? Whose tag number is that? That's right. It's Pastor Israel Hawkins' tag. Okay? These things are undeniable. Can we go to the next slide? Let's look a little further into that polished shaft. Because Pastor, in the ninth book of Israel, part one, I can't quite read the, you can see it yourself. I didn't darken that part. But he said that word polished shaft, the words polished shaft means a trained person, okay? Well, pastor's trained, you see that? 1074, pastor's trained. He's trained to do what? To deliver us, to show us how to overcome sin, so we can all be in his kingdom. Okay, now let's go to the next slide. Because he says also that in his quiver he has hidden me. And if you go to the next slide, he explains quiver. He said that word quiver, that is among his workers. Among his workers. Well, who's Yahweh's worker? You see that? 1074, Yahweh's worker. Well, that includes everyone here too, and you'll see that in sermons to come. Okay, everybody here is in that if you're in unity with Israel Hawkins. Okay, can I go to my next slide? And then he says in 49:3, and he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, through whom I will be glorified. Could we go to the next slide? You put that verse in gematria, and you get 777. 777, okay? Remember, who's teaching us the unity of Yahweh? Who's making us royal and loyal? Who's teaching us these things, house? Who taught you? That's right, Yisrael Hawkins, the one that had the dream, the Moloch that had the dream on 777 of the gold flakes falling, remember? And also, remember last week, all the Malachim, the seven works, when you added them up, it came to 777. Y'all remember these things, right? And then when you added the golden seven-lamp lampstand to that, you got 1074. What a miracle this is, okay? Now, can I have my next slide? Because Isaiah 49:5 talks about, and now Yahweh says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring the people of Jacob back to him, because the descendants of Israel are not yet gathered, I am honored in the eyes of Yahweh. Remember, honorable pastor, 1074. Yahweh honors Abel, 1074. The most honored, 1074. The most honored, you know, the holiest of the holy. Can I have my next slide? Because we're going to back up now to verse 1, okay, in Isaiah 49, 1, where it says, "Listen, O isles, countries, to me, you peoples, listen, you people from afar. Yahweh has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother, he has made mention of my name." And pastor has given us tons of sermons about this bowels of my mother and who this was speaking of, his brother Vernon, when his one-year-old brother. Now, I know there's scoffers out there that tried to say that pastor was lying about his age. Well, Yahweh's going to prove them a liar. Okay, remember, let every man be a liar, but Yahweh be true. Okay, not talking about Israel Hawkins. He's not a liar. He speaks the words of Yahweh. Okay, and if you speak the words of Israel Hawkins, you're not a liar either. Okay, so now we're going to prove who was telling the truth. Not just from the prophecies, but from the numbers now. Okay, so remember that Israel was a miraculous name, okay? 828 was a miracle name, 828. It was a miracle the way he was named. Can we go to the next slide? I'm going to be reading, and I'm going to put it up on the monitor too. I forgot I had this to put up on the monitor, but I want to show you so you can see. I like to prove everything, okay? All right, let me zoom in just a little bit. Right, a little more. Okay, right there. Can everybody see that? Okay, this is the 12th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 25, page 228. Okay, verse 46 is where we start. Because he's talking about how the great Kohan, Ilya Hyler Hawkins, had just spoken about proving these liars to be false about the dates about Vernon's death, pastor's birth, and all those other things. You need to go back and get those sermons from 2012, or go back and read this sermon here, and then go back and watch the history of Israel Hawkins and listen to the sermons the great Kohan gave about this, okay? So he says, "They called me a miracle baby." Can I have my next slide? Buffalo Bill's a miracle, okay? 1074. Okay, pull that one down so I can keep reading. And then he goes to talk about how Luetta Hawkins, you remember Luetta Hawkins? That's the witness Jacob's wife. Okay, the sixth work. And I showed you last week the sixth Moloch or the sixth lamp was 1074. Okay? So he was talking about how Luetta came here on a Sabbath years and years ago before she died. And she gave the account, a couple of accounts that were very important to the history of the house of Yahweh. One of them was about Jacob being thrown off the train. And I want you to pay attention to the train number when you see the train number he got thrown off. And also, remember, it was under duress. But then she also mentioned how pastor was named by a one-year-old child. And there was witnesses here that heard this woman give this testimony. So this was the story, he says, this was the story that Luetta told me when she was here. And we'll get to that in just a second. But let's first show the next slide. Oh? Luetta Hawkins, 1074? Wow. Okay, let's go to the next slide. I mean, not next slide. Pull that down so I can keep going. So he says, "So you know all these things are true and correct. And under duress..." Now let me read this to you. "I started calling to see the people and what they remembered about it and all the people that were with her that day when she was here visiting before she died. And that was after Jacob died. And she was the one that told us why he actually changed his name. I didn't know it till then. He told me that they wouldn't accept an initial name in Israel. That's all he told me. And then Luetta told us all that day, there were about 10 women there with her that day, and she told us all, in fact, she asked me if Jacob ever told me why he changed his name to Jacob. And I said, no, he just said they wouldn't accept it in Israel, She said, "We were about to get kicked off the train in Germany, and I wondered why they were on that train. And Joe, the woman named Joe at the Super Travel Agency, told me she's the one that booked the trip for them." So, you know, all these things are true and correct. And under duress, this man said, "Just call me Jacob." That was his wife Luetta's words. That's what she said. Can I have my next slide? Remember, he's "just call me Jacob." Okay, and Jacob under duress. Look at the train number he was on. No, not really. I added that. But hey, it probably was 1074. Maybe when we resurrect Jacob, he's going to show us what train number he was on, right? I wouldn't doubt it. Praise Yahweh. Maybe that'll help us remember, though, right? Okay, so I'm showing this. I'm sorry I'm not speaking in the mic, but I'm trying to read this. I want to show it to you because I want you to see the words here. Okay, so now let's look at this final part here. And he says, that's his wife Luetta's words out of her mouth when she visited with us that afternoon telling us that. And they were puzzled why I changed my name. This is Pastor talking about when he changed his name. Because they said Jacob had written me a letter. And she said, "Did you get Jacob's letter?" And I said, "Yes, but I'd already changed my name, so that didn't make any difference by the time I got the letter." But he said, "You might remember before you change your name that your one-year-old brother named you, that gave you that name. And of course, we knew that it was a miracle name. It was a miracle name." Can I have my next slide? Oh? Named by a one-year-old? 1074? Child had never spoke a word before? 1074? Remember the song? That child never spoke a word before. I know I'm not a great singer, but hey, on to my next slide. Let's skip the next one. Let's go through that one. Let's go ahead and skip it. Go skip that. Skip that. Okay. This is the birth certificate of Israel Hawkins. His father's name was William Otis Hawkins. William O. Hawkins, 1074? The Hawkins boys, he's the father of the Hawkins boys. You see that? 1074? And then the next slide shows his mother, Maggie Russell. Next slide. Vernon, that named him, was a boy of Maggie Russell. And so was Israel. 1074. Now go to the next slide, because Pastor made a prediction. Pastor said that he told you one day that Yahweh would prove to you that a one-year-old child named him. Look at the underlined portion. From the bowels of my mother at the bottom, he named me. Yahweh will prove that for you one day. Yahweh proved it. You see that number? 1074. Now I got to set you up for future sermons here. Can I have my next slide? There was a work that took place, more workers. Remember, Yahweh, he can be found among his workers, this witness, okay? At Two Angels Breath Road, we'll talk more about that later, there was a work that took place of exposing Satan. A book was written, Exposing Lilith, and we'll talk about that more later. Some people have been asking, who's Lilith? Well, we'll show you who Lilith is. The house of Yahweh has exposed her. Get that book and start reading it now. And also, there was a canning department there at that house where they wrote this book. A canning department, 1074, really? So if you're working in canning, you see your number there? Can I have my next slide? And we're also going to talk about another location, the press room at Abel. You see that? Press room at Abel, 1074. More workers that are doing the work of Yahweh at the press room. Now remember, I have another admonition on my way out. Go to the next slide, please. If you put your hand to this plow and you see the miracles that Yahweh is showing you, and you decide you think you want to leave the house of Yahweh, you need to remember Lot's wife. wife of Lot 666, you want to be part of the burning? No, no. Come to the house of Yahweh and stay. Where are you going to go? There's no other place. Come on. Yahweh's proven it again and again. And for my last slide, remember, that's where you're going to find the two cherubim, the two witnesses, right? The cherubim of gold at Abel, 1074. Cherubim on Ark at Abel, 1074. You see them, the two witnesses. Can you deny it? Well, you can, but you'd be a damn fool. Luke 24, remember, don't be a fool. You know, what's that song said? It said, don't be deceived, only believe all that the prophets have spoken. And all that Israel has spoken is now proven in the numbers. So praise Yahweh, you're in the right place. And at this time, if you'd all please stand. It's my great honor and opportunity to introduce one of the workers that worked at the Two Angels Breath Road location, the great Kahan Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom, please be seated. What we're going to talk today about is going to be in the book of Yechezkiah, chapter 26. It starts on page 647 and it ends on page 648. So those two pages in your book of Yahweh, 647 to start out. I am going to read you some key verses, but I would request that all of you, after you read these key, after you have these key verses down, that you read the whole chapter. Because one thing that you have to understand, and this thing points it out with what we're going to talk about today. In Yechezkiah, in chapter 26, the prophet is telling you that Satan is not only a being, but an institution of many. That when you're talking about the adversary, you're not only talking about Hillel, Lucifer, Lilith, or all those names she goes by. You are talking about everyone who follows her as well. They are all the institution of Satan. Also, the verses are going to be scattered. Some are going to be at the start of the chapter. Some are going to this chapter, and some are going to be at the end. People have asked me, why do you go from one point to another? All you have to do is go to Isaiah chapter 28 and read it. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You start in this book of Yahweh and you listen to the priests, especially the ones sent. And he will tell you where each thing about we're teaching you is. And that's what it's all about. So let's look first at verses 1 through 6. I'm sorry. Yes. I want to make sure I got it right. In the 11th year, in the first day of the moon, the word of Yahweh came to me saying, Son of man, because Tyre. Now, that's the name of the town. I didn't even know there was a town named Tyre. I always thought it was something you put on a car. Because Tyre is set against Jerusalem. Aha, she is broken. The gate of the people has broken, has swung up, The gate of the people has swung up open to me. I will be replenished now that she is laid waste. This is what Father Yahweh says. Behold, I am against you, O Tyre. And will cause many nations to come up against you, just as the sea causes its waves to come up. And they will destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It will be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken, says Father Yahweh, it will become plunder for the nations. And Tyre's daughters, her cities and villages, which are on the mainland, will be slain by the sword, and they will know that I am Yahweh. Now, turn the page and go to verse 20. Let us continue. Verse 20. It's on 648. Then I will bring you down with those who descend into the pit on verse 20. with the people of ancient times, and will set you in the earth below in places desolate from antiquity, with those who go down into the pits, so that you will never be inhabited. And I will set glory in the land of the living. I will make you a terror, and you will be no more. Though you are searched for, yet you will never be found again, says Father Yahweh. All right, we have those verses. The word Tyre is not talking about something you put on a truck that is written in everywhere. In Yekeskia chapter 26, it's translated from the Hebrew word zar. That's zari resh. This word is listed on page 1208 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which shows this word means an adversary, an enemy, oppressor, a rock city. The word Jerusalem that is written in Yekeskia 26:2 is translated from the Hebrew word Yerushalam. Now, normally this is talking about the priest of peace, but here it is talking about a place. So a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius First, which shows this, pages 607 and 608 and 1396, shows this word originally was written Abel and means to be completed, to be at peace. The word set that is written in Yekeskia 26:20 is translated from the Hebrew word natati. Normally, that's a form of the word Nathan. This word is on page 959 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius First, which shows this word means to establish in. Here's the big one. The word glory that is in Yekeskia 26:20 is translated from the Hebrew word zavi. That's zari bet yod. This word is listed on page 1173 of a Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon to the Old Testament of Julius First, which shows this word means mountain of the house of Yahweh. Translated in most Bibles, temple mountain. So here's what Yekeskia 26, verses 1 through 6 and 20 and 21 say. The first six verses. In the 11th year, in the first day of the moon, the word of Yahweh came to me saying, Son of man, because Satan has said against Abel, aha, she is broken. The gate of the people has swung open to me. I will replenish now that she is laid waste. This is what Father Yahweh says. Behold, this is what will come to pass against you and your institutions, O Satan. Many nations will be caused to come up against you and your institutions, just as the sea causes its waves to come up. And look at the news. Everybody wants to fight everybody. And they will destroy the walls of Tyre, this citadel of your power, O Satan, and break down her towers. Her dust will be scraped from her, and she will be made like the top of a rock. It will be the place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. In other words, they want to net another one in deception. For I have spoken, says Father Yahweh, it will become a plunder for the nations. And Satan's daughters, her cities and villages which are in the mainland, will be slain by the sword. What is the sword? The word of Yahweh. The word of Yahweh is sharper than the sharpest sword. And they will know that I am Yahweh. And they are slain by this sword. The word of Yahweh says, don't commit adultery. Don't commit sodomy. And yet HIV and STDs are rampant and unstoppable. Unless you're serving Yahweh. They will realize their God won't save them. And there will be many who will say, well, let's see what Yahweh can do. And prayerfully, they'll learn something and they'll know what he can do. For this is what Father Yahweh says, verse 19. When you and your institution are made desolate like the cities that are not inhabited, when the deep will be brought upon you and great waters will cover you, then you will be brought down with those who descend into the pit, with the people of ancient times, and who were set below in places desolate from antiquity, from those who go down into the pit, so that you will never be attended again. And look at this, the set glory. And I will establish the mountain of the house of Yahweh in the land of the living. The house of Yahweh was established by He who is, who was, and who will always be. He is where the land of living will be. And Yochanan, 1 Yochanan 3, 1 and 2 says, you will become just like him. You will be made a terror and you will be no more. Though you are searched for, yet you will never be found again, says Father Yahweh. In the kingdom, there will be no God worship. There will be no church. There will be no El, Elohim, Lord God. Jesus, Jesus, a woman's name, by the way. None of that will count. It'll be thrown out. And Satan and her institution will never exist again. Because the house of Yahweh will be established in its place to be there forever, all of its people now being Yahweh's themselves. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And I now turn the service over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Now, very important today that you pay close attention to the things that we see in the news. It's, of course, things that the prophets of old spoke about. And, of course, how did they know about these things? Who told them about it? That should come to mind. But we start off with something concerning a leader that was hanged about 11 years ago, Saddam Hussein. Oh, wasp everywhere. Saddam Hussein, and they're interviewing his lawyer, and this is after Saddam Hussein, who was the leader of Iraq, was hanged. And they're asking him about the night before, the last meeting he had with Saddam. And remember what Malachi Martin said when you're hearing these things, how the Catholic Church has the power to say who stands and who falls. And then remember what Revelation says about the second beast. They receive authority from the first. Well, they asked the lawyer about something that Saddam was asked, but he refused. And what Saddam was asked, why will you not appeal to the Pope for your life? Appeal to the Pope before your life. And watch what his comment was. His comment was, I have not but one Lord, and that is Allah. You know, speaking of Allah being a Lord. But I will not appeal to that Lord, speaking of the Pope. So he refused to appeal to him, and of course he died. Now the importance in this is watch what's taking place as we go through the news today, showing the sanctions that are taking place. Very important, the sanctions, what they're sanctioning, and the very countries they're sanctioning. And keep in mind, you'll see that these sanctions are coming from the U.S. They're not passed through the U.N. They're not United Nations sanctions. They're coming directly from the United States, that second beast that receives authority from the first. And the first sanctions are calling it an economic war, and it's where the United States has placed more sanctions on Russia. Now, Moscow is calling these sanctions absurd. They're calling them illegal, saying they're unlawful. But watch what they say about the money in the countries, the value of money. Russia, you have the ruble. Their currency immediately drops value. As soon as you mention a sanction, the value of their currency drops. That's frustrating to them because it knocks them down, not just on a global market, but operating in their own countries. Now, of course, these sanctions that are going on, they're calling it an economic war, and Russia has promised to retaliate. And then Turkey. Remember, Turkey's supposed to be a NATO ally. They're also supposed to be an ally of the United States. The United States has more nuclear bombs in that country that's off the United States' shores. In other words, not in our country, but the next country that has the most is Turkey. That's where they've placed them at. Well, if you remember, there's something going on based on religion where this pastor being held, a Christian pastor being held in Turkey, and the United States is using that as an excuse to sanction Turkey. Now, keep in mind, Turkey was sanctioned, or the talk of sanctions, and the value of their dollar dropped 30%. Imagine the wealth that you have dropping 30% overnight or over a few months. It's dropped 10% just in the last few weeks. But also sanctioning Turkey. Now, Erdogan's remarks was, whenever they were sanctioned, this is President Erdogan's remarks. He said, you have the dollar, we have our God. That's what he told the United States. And then, of course, Iran. Now, remember, we've said Russia, Turkey, and Iran. Iran also being sanctioned. Iran receiving the toughest sanctions that they could receive at this time. Now, they're sanctioning Iran to where they're being forbid to even have the U.S. dollar. They're not allowed to buy it. They're not allowed to trade in it. They're being totally shut off from the U.S. dollar. Now, in all of this going on, Turkey has said, remember, the United States said, if you do business with Iran, you will not do business with America. A lot of these countries are pretty much saying, okay, then we'll create our own system. So Turkey has come out and said, They will buy oil from Iran, and they will buy weapons from Russia. Now imagine that, a NATO personnel, a NATO ally buying weapons from Russia. You see a lot of turmoil in that, and something that's just not right with these regulations they've set on each other. Now, going from Iran and these sanctions, remember Damascus. It's very important to remember Damascus, remember these countries we've talked about, and how you'll notice in the news they'll show Aleppo, which is in Syria, which has ceased to be a city. You'll see Raqqa, which has ceased to be a city. You'll see Ghouta, which has ceased to be a city. You'll see Damascus, which you'll see them say that Damascus is now secure. It's operating fine. Eastern Damascus has suffered a little bit, but Damascus as a whole is a city that's operating fine. It's in smooth sailing, as they say. The problems are gone. Everything is on the up and up. I want you to remember, this is what Israel Hawkins brought, and these things will surely come to pass. On the Roman month of April 20th, Pastor released Damascus, Woe to Damascus, Syria, the prophecies of Damascus. It's important to go back and familiarize yourself with these things. And then on the Roman month of May, the 11th day, he released Damascus, much worse coming, also for all nations. Notice, not just Damascus, but for all nations. And the first thing Pastor says in there is, Damascus, you are prophesied to become a ruinous heap, but you are not alone. All nations will fall in this generation. And then the last one, which was released on the Roman month of May, the 14th day, Damascus in this generation will cease being a city. Why is this important? Because it hasn't stopped yet, but the grounds are being made, because right now, you'll see in the news where Israel and, of course, Russia, is the agreement that was made that Iran will stay 52 miles off the border of the Golan Heights. That puts them around the city of Damascus. But you have Turkey, you have Russia, and you have Iran all in Syria. And those are all three of the countries the United States are heavily sanctioning right now to shut them down. And of course, the United States wants to remove Assad also. Well, what will these things mean for our world today and the things that we're seeing? Remember one thing. Everything we've seen thus far was told to us in advance by Yahweh's anointed witness and shown to us by the prophets of old, but explained to us by the mouth of Yahweh, which is Yahweh's spokesperson. As surely as the cities have fallen thus far, Damascus will also fall. And remember, when you see it fall, you heard it from Yahweh's last day's witness first. If we could please go ahead and play the news. I want you to remember, as you see Damascus, I would like for everyone, if you don't know, you can get these letters that Pastor wrote about Damascus and much more if you go to yahwehsbranch.com. That's yahwehsbranch.com. And you can get all of this information and get caught up on what Pastor has been bringing. And at this time, if everybody will please stand, I would like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. I'm running behind there just a little. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I was trying to gather up all the information and I could on this. I hope you absorbed all of that was brought out from the three great elders, David Yehuda, the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins, and also great Eliyah Hyler Hawkins. In the news, thing about Damascus, if I can get you to see this, it's not easy. There's no way you can understand it on your own. I know this. But Damascus actually, all of these prophecies from the beginning, what was brought out by all the elders and the news, all of these prophecies rest on Damascus. I'll get into the history there. There's a lot in history that you've got to understand. And then, of course, the scriptures, the gematria is helping, but the prophecies, of course, is what lays it out for us. And it's really uplifting to you to when you see Yahweh bringing this out to his house in this time period, showing, you know, that he wants you in his house, and he's training your mind to trying to get you to see the great complex of his mind that he's offering to give to you. The radio, the news, the outlet to the world. Now, we're reaching them with this broadcast. We're reaching them with all the different ways, with even Twitter. We're going straight into the offices with of Trump and everyone else now with Twitter. We're also heard from Saudi Arabia and Yemen. Saudi Arabia and Yemen this week. The name, I don't know if you could see this fake, this real faint name here, but I'm putting my finger on it, and if you can understand the Arabic, and you see it right there, I got it circled for you, but he does speak English and read English, but he signed his name there in his native language, and he's wanting to know how he can all the details of worshiping Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. We also had someone from Iran this week, and we had people wanting to come to the feast, and they're wanting prayer because the wars are trying to close the gates on them. Well, of course, that's what these wars are for, is to try to keep the message of Yahweh from going out. It's not keeping it from going out, and of course, if you see it, repent of sin. That's the main thing. Repent of sin, and then start practicing as best you can from the teaching of the house of Yahweh. Sin, 1 John 3:4, is the breaking of Yahweh's laws. And his laws are taught at his house. The only place they're taught, actually, is at his house. The news media, Israel Hawkins says the earth is sick, suffering with global defilement, and offers solution. We're also offering the 12 months of the 12 months that will bring peace is being offered to the world. We're offering to work out all details with them. We could easily solve their problems. It's 100% sure. We can solve every problem they got if they just yield. The news here, this Trump stiffs up Mideast team for peace plan rollout. Now, this is the plan that they've got going with Gaza. That might you might put that in your memory there. The plan they got going with Gaza, with these people, of course, this has been going on since the days of Abraham, but we're going to solve it in this time period. Well, that's true. We are. Not through man's schemes, but after man proves that he can't do anything but blow himself up. U.S. officials say that the Trump administration is staffing up a Middle East policy team at the White House in anticipation of unveiling its long-awaited but largely mysterious Israeli-Palestinian peace plan. The team, which is being set up to organize the peace plan, plans public presentations and any negotiations that may ensue will comprise three units, one concentrating on its political and security details, one on its insufficient economic focus, and one on strategic communications, the official said. Now, let me get this last paragraph here. The remaining amount is still on hold, as in an additional $65 million in frozen U.S. Assistance. The UN Relief and Works Agencies, which provide services to Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza, Jordan and Lebanon. The plan is not done, but being finalized, including an economic development proposed for the Palestinian people that foresees major infrastructure and industrial work, particularly in Gaza. The recognitions of East Jerusalem as the capital of independent Palestine. This is Abraham 29:2018, sacred calendar. If you don't have one, you can still get one, and you need one to get the gods out of your mouth and start worshiping Yahweh. The sacred calendar, 8, and then that was Abraham 29 is the sacred calendar, 8-11-2018. Just today now, today, this date that I've just gave you, just today, the JerusalemPost.com, Arab-Israeli conflict, 1 killed, 110 injured in clashes along Gaza border. Now, you should have that Gaza in your mind, and you should have caught it in the news, too. The firing, remember Damascus and where it's located. Let me see if I can refresh your memory with where Damascus is, where Galilee is. We were close enough one night, was holding a meeting. Shaul and I in the Golan Heights was close enough to hear them bombing in Syria. If you could imagine this now, we were traveling at night, taking these long, crooked roads, going up these hills, which we had to pass Galilee and climb this mountain to get to the place where we had the appointment, and which lasted about an hour and a half. So we were late getting out of there that night, but we were right close to the area where we were at the area where Israel actually took land from Syria, and of course close enough to where the sound would carry from Damascus to us that night. Well, here's now is is, let me see if I can get this figured out myself. I bet you this one would be the best one. Now, right here is the Sea of Galilee. If you can see that, the Sea of Galilee. And then, just above it here, you can see Syria. And Damascus sits right in that area. And then, I want you to remember this. There's a road I made, or Ria Shoshana made it for me. The road that comes down from there that's mentioned in Scripture. Now get this in your mind and hold it now, because you really need all this information that you got today to understand what I'm trying to bring and will bring. But this road right here that comes from Damascus, this is Damascus where I have my finger right now. You come down past the Sea of Galilee, and then you come all the way to Jerusalem, but you pass this road that comes down from and passes Galilee is the same road that the forefathers actually traveled 4,000 years ago. They have redone it a few times, I'm sure. I think that's all you need right there. This may, this shows you the Sea of Galilee. And, of course, right up here is Syria. This is the Golan Heights, as they call it, is right above the Sea of Galilee, where we held meetings and then came all the way back that night to Jerusalem, down that from the Golan Heights all the way back to Jerusalem. Let's see, I won't read that. And I think that's all you need right there if you just keep that in mind. Israeli, this is a fresh article this morning. Israeli fires Israelis for new missiles as Syria slams terrorist white helmets evacuation. Israel debuts a new anti-missile system near its northern border Monday as neighboring Syria criticizes, of course. Now, of course, this is, if you see what's taking place in Damascus, that's what I want you to see mostly. But, of course, Syria is going to be taken over too, all of Syria. I want you to turn over to the ninth chapter of Zechariah now with all of this news in mind. I can tell you, you really need to take your spare time and start re-listening to these sermons. This is not going to be easy to absorb, but you can if you will work at it. But it takes some work. It'll show Yahweh how much you actually want to learn, how eager you are to learn what he had inspired to be written in these scriptures right here. It's a command. It's a law. It's a law. Search out the book of Yahweh. Search out the book of Yahweh. Well, of course, you do that by going to his house where he prophesies where his house would be. And then you work with the priest, and because you can't understand it on your own, there's no way I can tell you that till my tongue turns blue and preaching this. But unless you have this explanation that I'm about to give you, you'll never understand what I'm talking about here, nor the complications of how this came about, how it was written for you, where no one else could understand it, where the wicked could never understand it. The wicked will never be able to understand it. That's what Daniel told you. You're a fool if you don't believe it, as the elder just told you a while ago. But here in chapter 9 now, I brought some on this here recently. I wrote a bunch on it before. I still haven't explained it fully. It's going to take a while. The prophecy. Now, the in a linear that gives you the Hebrew, it says the oracle. The oracle, word of Yahweh, the oracles, word of Yahweh. Now that's what they are. They're the words of Yahweh written by the prophets under inspiration to be brought down to you in these last days. It was for them, but they couldn't understand it. Daniel even tells you he couldn't understand it. He asked me. Daniel actually asked me in vision to explain it to him. Does that make it clear to you? You need help. You should see these things that Yahweh is telling you. It's complicated, so none of the wicked will ever understand, but you will understand. Then when you grasp your subconscious mind, you know, and you see this all together, after it's been explained and after you've really studied to see what Yahweh wants you to see, then you'll understand what Yahweh, the way Yahweh will deal with you in future when he sends you out on assignments to planets, to actually straighten out a planet or the governments of that planet. Because you will be sent. That's why you're training. The word of Yahweh against land of Hadrach. I would have had a map showing. Anyway, it includes Damascus. And Damascus, the city of Damascus, resting place of him. For on Yahweh, eyes of man, and all of tribes Israel. Well, now that's the way it is written from the Hebrew to the English. And then the translators who are wicked, they don't understand it. And of course, they put their own sayings in. But they gave you a translation. They gave us a translation, which we have been working on for years to change, to straighten it out, the mistranslations, adding the name back, because there's no way you can understand the scriptures without being able to know the name Yahweh, where it's rightly shown. Otherwise, you'll be thinking God showed you, and you don't know which God it was. But some God showed you this, probably on Halloween when you got some poison candy or something, some tainted candy, that God showed you that, and you didn't even know you ate it until later on, you know. Well, I won't go any further there. But this is the way your life has gone until you came to the house of Yahweh. That's the righteous thing that you did, come to the house of Yahweh, not of the gods, but of Yahweh. Okay, now let's go back to the prophecy in English now. But remember, as I read to you here from the Hebrew, it shows Yahweh's name, it shows these oracles, it shows Damascus, it shows where the trouble is taking place right now in and around the great river Euphrates, Damascus. You read it, you didn't understand it, and I'm going to spend a lot of time making you understand this. The prophecy, these prophecies, or oracles, the only true oracles or revelation comes from the Holy of Holies, which was given to you. That's the reason I wanted the great David Yehuda to bring this out, the information he brought. But look back to 1 Kings 16, and then the gematria that the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins, 1 Kings 6, it said in Exodus 2, also, but in Exodus, and he covered that, but we got to cover it again because he brought you the Demetria. But look first to 1 Kings 6, and look at verse 16. Then he constructed the 20 cubic feet, which is 30 feet, cubics, 20 cubics, 30 feet room, a 30-foot room. That's a pretty big room from a room of cedar boards from floor to ceiling at the back of the house of Yahweh, to form within the house an inner sanctuary, the most holy place. Now that's what we enter in today. That's what I'm taking you into to show you what Yahweh is showing us. Praise Yahweh. Now, 16, the holy place, which is the outer sanctuary in front of the most, now that was the most holy place. The holy place is verse 17, which is the outer sanctuary in front of the most holy place, was 40 cubics, that is about 60 feet. Look on down to verse 19. He prepared the most holy place inside the house to set the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh there. The most holy place, verse 20, was 20 cubics, gives you the size again. Now look on down. Well, we better read. Verse 21, Solomon overlaid the inside of the house with pure gold, stretched chains of gold. And then verse 22, the entire inside of the house was overlaid with gold. And then verse 23, in the most holy place, he made two witnesses. If you get that word witnesses in your mind now, as this was brought out this morning in the Gematria and actually tagged to our number. 1074, our number, is tagged to it. In fact, all the works that begin in creation is actually tagged to this ending number of ours. Yahweh did that for you to show, so there wouldn't be any doubts where his house is. It's the most holy place. He made two cherubim of olive wood, each 10 cubics, that is about 15 feet in height. If you look at Exodus 25 now, Exodus 25, this is what the elder brought out this morning with the Gematria, 25, and look at verse 31. Make a lampstand of pure gold and hammer it out, base and shaft. It's flowered like cups, buds, the blossoms shall be of one piece with it. The six branches, you notice branches, get the word branches in your mind. These things are showing you something 4,000 years later. Showing you something 4,000 years later. Are to extend from the sides of the lampstand, three on one side, three on the other side, three cups shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms are to be on one branch, three on the next branch, and the same for all six branches. Six branches. I am the vine and you are the branches. Don't get it mixed up. That's Yahshua's words, which extend from the lampstand. Look on down to verse 37. Then make it seven lamps. So there's seven all together here. To understand this now,
we've got to go back to Revelations, and keep in mind, Revelations was written in 96 A.Y. It was immediately put in prison. In fact, that's where Yahweh had it written, in prison. It was taken from there and locked up in the catechisms of the Catholic Church for about 1,500 years before, a little longer than that, before it got to us. But it got to the translators after about 1,500 years, and then slowly got to Oklahoma, where a family was training a very... Well, a family was training by lamplight, and I know what it is to train by lamplight. Some don't. Maybe you should buy your a kerosene lamp. That's a great way to find out how these lights that he's talking about here work. Now, keep in mind too that that electricity did not come until to the Oklahoma territory till I was a few years old. There was no electricity, no refrigerators, no air conditioners. Only air conditioners was a window that you pull up when you had a window. Now, Revelations 1, keep in mind now, the lampstand you just saw and where it was put in front of Yahweh is placed right in front of Yahweh in the Holy of Holies, in front of Yahweh, the model of such we see in heaven. Here in Revelations 1, and look at verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the day of Yahweh, that great day, and I heard behind me a great voice, a voice. I heard behind me a voice. A voice 2,000 years ago, written 96 A.Y., written, penned up in prison, and then he hears this voice. He hears this voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha, I am Tau, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven congregations of the house of Yahweh. Oh, how beautiful that sermon will be when we get to it. Verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. Here, this is a voice that's this trumpet that he saw in verse 10. This is a voice, the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw a golden lampstand. The golden lampstand you just read about in Exodus and in Exodus and in 1 Kings. The lampstand, a golden lampstand. And in the midst of the seven lampstand, one like the Son of Man. Now, here we put them together. The lampstand that was made 2,000 years before Yahshua, and the lampstand now that Yahshua is actually standing with, and one of the lamps speaking. Son of Man, like the Son of Man, that's Yahshua, I'm the first and the last, clothed with a garment down to the feet, with a girdle of gold about his chest. Look at verse 12, the voice. Get that in your mind.
the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw the lampstand. In chapter 10, look at verse 7. We're working on a song right now. You need to get this song and start practicing it too if you twist the arms of the doctor of music just a little. Chapter 10. And look at verse 7. Remember what he saw, the lampstand, so forth there. I turned and I saw, and here was Yahshua and the lampstand, and a voice. But in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch. So the seventh lamp is, do you see that? It's the seventh Moloch, or messenger. The messenger that is 15 foot tall in the Holy of Holies. One of them standing in the Holy of Holies along with the lampstand. When he will begin to sound, the great secrets of Yahweh will be finished, as he declared by his servants the prophets, as is shown in prophecy. Look back to Revelations 1 now. Revelations 1 and look at verse 3. Revelations 1 and verse 3. Blessed is he that reads, and those who hear the words of the prophecy. You see that? Blessed are you when you can hear these words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time. Don't miss that word. The time is at hand. What time is he talking about? Verse 3, the time. Look at verse 13, and you'll see. What time? And in the midst of the seven lampstand, one like the Son of Man. So here you got the witnesses and the Son of Man in that time period. You see that? And in the midst of the seven lampstand, one like the Son of Man. If you'll go over now to Zechariah, the sixth chapter. Zechariah had to be wondering about what he wrote here. You know, and Moshe too. Moshe was tagged to us too. So is Abraham. Zechariah 6, if you got it now, verse 11. And remember what you just read in Revelations. Take the silver and the gold and make crowns, and set them on the head of Yahshua, son of Yazadek, they put here. Now, I could go to extremes, and maybe will, if I see that some don't remember, I'll have to come back another week and explain this again. But this Yazadek, we have it over in the margin. You can see it in Strong's, but I can bring copies and show it to you. But that word Yazadek is Yahweh. That's in Strong's, actually tells you that is Yahweh, the Father, the great Father who created the heaven and the earth. So this is Yahshua. Now, some put it Joshua. They forget now that there was no J in the King James Version until 1100. A-Y. No J. There's still not a J in the Hebrew, and still not one in Greek. It was only invented to take the place of the Y to create more deception. So instead of Yahweh, they're trying to figure out his name, knowing he had a name. And the vowel points was mixed up. In the original writings, and in trying to figure that out, they came up with the word Jehovah. They had it almost right. But they still didn't remember that there wasn't any J in the Hebrew language. If they'd have used the Y, they would have got it right, and finally did. They finally figured it out. And the word Jozadek, as you see in the King James Version, is actually Yahweh. That they pronounced Jehovah in the King James Version. But they all know now that it's Yahweh. So Yahshua, and that is the name that Matithiah said he must have, because Yahweh will save his people. From their sins. Who is his people is shown in Romans 6:16. You belong to whom you obey. And 1 Yochanan 4, 7 and 8. Those who practice sin belongs to Satan. Sin is the breaking of the law. The law says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Don't forsake that. Then, if you do, you go to 666. You no longer have the Yahweh tag number. 1074 is Yahweh and Yahshua. That's my tag number. Put on my car. As the man just brought out today, Yozadek, he's Yahshua. Yahshua means Yahweh will save his people from their sins. His people are those who repent of sin, turn to righteousness through Yahweh's priest. Go to the place. Don't leave it. Just go to the place. And there train and be tested until the end. He who endures to the end. Okay, now back to verse 11. Now, take the silver and gold and make crowns and set it up on the head of Yahshua, son of Yahweh, the high priest. High priest, Hebrews 1:1 said Yahweh in previous times spoke to us through the prophets. But in this time period, in the latter days, he said, still reading in Hebrews 1:1, in the latter days he speaks to us through his son. Yes, he's high priest over the house of Yahweh. And that is written in Hebrews 10:21, having a high priest over the house of Yahweh. And the first chapter tells you who that high priest is. Here it tells you who the high priest is. And in Revelations it tells you who that high priest is. All those places. He's the middle lamp with three on each side. Altogether, there are seven works of Yahweh. Seven works of Yahweh altogether. And when the seventh one speaks, these secrets will be revealed. They haven't been revealed up until this time. We are it, brethren. We are it. Now, speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold the man whose name is the branch. Well, how in the world would you know that? The branch. Look at 4 verse 2 quickly. 4 verse 2. And he said unto me, what do you see? So I said, and behold, a lampstand, all of gold. That was the one we just read about in the Holy of Holies. with the oil on the oil bowls on the top of them, with seven lamps, as Revelations 1 also shows you, seven lamps, and also Revelations 11 shows you, these are the two lampstands, is what it says there, and there are seven pipes to the seven lamps, and then look verse 3, and there are two olive trees. That's what I see. Two olive trees. Now, so the branches. Behold the man whose name is the branch. Look down to verse 12 of chapter 4. Then I spoke to him again and said to him, what are these two olive branches? Behold the man who is called the branch, because he's going to branch out and build the house of Yahweh. In the time period, in the time, remember, in that time wherein Yeshua is high priest. In that time period, no other. Now, before that, he spoke to us by the prophets said, and the apostles said. He spoke to us by the prophets. But in the last days, he speaks to us through his Son. Through his Son, who, under the word behold, speaks to us through the branch. The branch that builds the house. Oh, I'm hoping you got that. Oh, what a shame if you didn't. The branch, for he will branch out. Behold this man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place, and he will build the house of Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
And you're it. You're it, brethren. You all got my tag. You all got attached to my tag number. Yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory and will sit and rule on his throne. He will be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace will be between them both, between the branch and Yeshua. Now that was verse 14. Now, go back to Zechariah. You've got to get this in your mind and get it built up all together. Go back to chapter 9 of Zechariah now, and look at verse 1 again. The prophecy of doom, Hebrew massa, burden. The burden. Well, you can put all kinds of interpretations on it. Hold your place there and be turning over to Jeremiah 23. You should have this memorized, but you can't. You'd almost have to have the whole book of Yahweh memorized. But chapter 23 of Jeremiah, and remember the burden now. The burden he's talking about here, because he's talking about Damascus. He's talking about Damascus, but he's also talking about you and me at this same time period. He's talking about all the prophecies that come down to this time period. He's talking about the nations that are in that fourth part of the earth that are fighting right now. All of this is including in this chapter 9. And all of these prophecies rest on Damascus. I'll explain, don't worry. Woe to the pastor. Woe to the pastors, the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Therefore, this is what Yahweh, the Father of Israel, says against the pastors who feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away. If you think about it, Damascus was associated with Abraham. Damascus is a very old, old city. And the prophecy concerning Damascus in Isaiah 17, it says, you're going to become a ruinous heap. You know, that was written 2,000 years before Yahshua. 2,000 years or thereabout. And think about this. All the commentators now say, they look at this and they say, well, they must have got the name mixed up. It must have been another name because Damascus wasn't destroyed. It was fought against and everything, but it wasn't destroyed, like the prophecy shows that it would. But it wasn't supposed to be destroyed until a certain time, a time of the two witnesses, the time of the house of Yahweh, when Yahweh himself is going to guard and protect his house and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's all for that time period, not back in the other time period, 2,000 years before. Now he says, behold, I am going to visit, attend to you for the evil. Evil. Always remember to associate that word evil with Genesis 3, verse 5. Evil like the gods. We want to go through verse 3. But I will gather the remnant. Remember the word remnant, because it's also included in this prophecy of Damascus. You're right along with it. You're in that time period. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them. Did you know that this is the first time that's ever been done? And I tell you, we got people that are riding now wanting to come to the feast. These people are riding and contacting us here and there. We've got several ways now for them to contact us. We got stations set up taking their calls and requests right now. As I speak, they're doing it. they don't have to wait. All they have to do is just call. They can reach us by letter also. They can reach us instantly. They could even come in and do. They do. While I'm speaking, they get on the internet and come in, and we got people answering it right now. But he says, I will gather the remnant of my people out of all countries. That's including Damascus. And, of course, the people there are suffering. They have ever since the days of Abraham. But the big prophecy is now. They have survived and grown, and Damascus has come a super city. But it's going to be a heap of ruins, a ruinous heap. All countries where I have driven them and bring them back to my folds. That's you. That's you, the house of Yahweh. And they will be fruitful and increase. Look at verse 14. Of that same chapter, verses 14 and 15. I have also seen in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery. They walk in lies. That's Christianity for you today. The last two lines of that verse they're like Sodom and Gomorrah. And they sit on the seven hills of Rome. Seven hills of Rome. What city sits on the seven hills? Profaneness, verse 15, last verse, last two lines. Profaneness from them, from these prophets here in Jerusalem, of Jerusalem. These were the sons of Jacob. From them, profaneness, this profaneness of Sodom and Gomorrah, have gone out to all the land. Verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, the laws and the prophets, then they would have turned them from the evil. Genesis 3:5, the evil way and from the evil, Genesis 3:5, of their doing. Look at verse 26. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, you're prophets of deceit of your own minds, who devise and cause my people to forget my name. This was done by the Catholic Church, the one that sits on seven hills. In verse 32, remember the burden. Remember the burden. Let me read that to you quickly again from Zechariah 9, verse 1. The prophecy of doom, burden of the word of Yahweh. Now let's read verse 32, Jeremiah 23, verse 32. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says Yahweh. They tell them, and they cause my people to err, go astray by their lies and recklessness. You walk out into the world, brethren, and you're practicing recklessness right then and there. You could pick up anything and die. And he says, yet I did not send them nor command them. They are of no benefit to this people at all, says Yahweh. I didn't send them, so they're no benefit to these people. And when these people, or the priest, asked you, saying, what is the burden? Zechariah 9:1, the prophecy of the burden of the word of Yahweh against Hadrach, against Damascus. What is the burden? You will then say to them, you are the burden. You, speaking of the ones who changed his name. Get that? Who changed his name. Who caused the people to forget his name for Lord, for dead rabbis. Now back to Zechariah 9, we're still in verse 1, yes. Now the prophecy of the word of Yahweh, the prophecy of the word of Yahweh against the land of Hadrach on Damascus. That's actually what it says, if you'll write it, that rest on Damascus. I'll read it the way it's written here. The prophecy of doom, Massa, burden, of the word of Yahweh against the land of Hadrach, and upon Damascus it rest, for the eyes of men and all the tribes of Israel will be upon Yahweh. The King James Version says here, in the land of Hadrach, the prophecy rests. That is, it stops. The prophecy stops, comes to its end, is brought to a finish with Damascus. The King James Version, the burden of the word of Yahweh in the land of Hadrach and Damascus shall be the rest thereof when the eyes of man, as of all the tribes of Israel, shall be towards Yahweh. The Amplified Bible, you get part of it from it, part of it from King James, part of it from the Interlinear to get this thing put together. The Amplified Bible says the burden, the burden or oracle, the thing to be lifted up of the word of Yahweh is against the land of Hadrach in Syria, and Damascus shall be its resting place. For Yahweh has an eye upon mankind as upon all the tribes of Israel. So they're getting bits and pieces of this, the translators are. And this actually shows that Yahweh, the Hebrew here, actually shows that Yahweh does have his eyes upon his house and to protect it, as he says. The King James Version, in the land of Hadrach, so that narrows it down to a certain area. Then Damascus, all of this, on this land of Hadrach, includes several cities, but the prophecy actually comes to an end with Damascus. So the prophecy of the word of Yahweh against the land of Hadrach rests upon Damascus, is what the prophecy is actually saying. The prophecy of the land of Hadrach, which included all of those cities. That is, now, Damascus. The western or southern or southwestern road travels by Galilee. Now, you've got to think here now, because Tyre is included in this prophecy. David Yehuda brought out this morning to straighten that scripture out. I don't think we'll get to it here, but he, if you'll remember, or wrote it down or corrected it in your book of Yahweh, but the western or southwestern, this is describing Damascus, the western or southwestern road travels by Galilee. Galilee, that's where Yeshua did all of his work, or a lot of his work, in Galilee, where he'd done a lot of training. He trained his disciples there in Galilee. And then, of course, Bethlehem, where it was just a little further down the road, or as they told us, over the hill. Just over the hill. When we were at Bethlehem, and I said, "Where is Abilene?" "Oh, it's just over the hill." I didn't even think he would know. You couldn't even find it on the maps when we first started hunting it. They started putting it on the maps later because we had all Israel upset because it wasn't on the map. Here's an ancient city who actually was in all the history of the land of Israel, but it wasn't on any maps. Well, a little bit later, we found it on a map of that they give to the tourists, and they said they just put it in. Now everybody knows where it is, thanks to the house of Yahweh, of course. But anyway, the western or southwestern wall, speaking of Damascus now, the western or southwestern, this is the way it's written, the western or the southwestern road travels by Galilee. Now, the things that was going on in Tyre was a huge city, as a trade city. It belonged to the Romans. It was a branch of the Romans that branched off and says, "We don't want to pay our taxes any longer. We don't want to pay tribute any longer." Well, of course, Yahweh said to Tyre, because they have done a certain thing, it interrupts his work. That would interrupt his work. If you'll read that with, if you'll read what the scripture says with the way that David Yehuda corrected it, you'll see that Yahweh got involved. That is, he had planned already, knowing thousands of years in advance this was going to take place. But he set it as an example. You get involved in my work, which would have got involved, Tyre was getting involved with the work that was proceeding towards Yeshua Messiah. That was also in this prophecy right here of Zechariah. So Tyre, it was a inland city to begin with. It was a huge city. And then they moved. There was a big island, which you see China now trying to imitate. China is building its own Tyre right now. And they built an island to increase their trade flow, but also for a protection against the enemy. Well, that's what they did in the days of the great Roman Empire when it was taking over everything. This great Roman Empire, the fourth beast, the army that stood on their part, it was out continually roaming with thousands and thousands of soldiers. And when a city was to be destroyed, now, Alexander the Great, he took it under siege, that is, the land of Tyre, the city of Tyre, for something like 13 years, I think. But he never could defeat it because of the island that stood off from the sea, from the land. And, of course, that when they'd try to come across with boats, they were easy prey to their soldiers. And they could do nothing. You know, this fixed in a boat is like shooting ducks in a barrel, they said. But this island that they built, it was bigger than the city. They didn't build the island. They just took it over and extended their city. I think it was Nebuchadnezzar that finally came in, and with manpower, this strictly manpower, actually destroyed the inner city, and then they started scraping, pushing the dirt and debris from that city. They pushed it down even to the foundation stones, everything, pushed it out towards this island and made a peninsula out of this instead of an island where their soldiers could come across and easily defend themselves, enter the city, the island city, and finally destroyed it. We'll read that later, but my time is up, but you could read it yourself in your Kiska. Read it and familiarize yourself with it for the next sermon. That will save me some time too. But now, this Tyre was the city that Yahweh wanted to make an example out of. That is, he had it set up to be an example of his protection, not so much for the people back then, even though they saw it and feared. They started fearing Yahweh, not enough to turn to him in righteousness, but they saw that his plan, that nothing interfered with his plan. And of course, this was what he's proven to you right now when he says his eyes are on you. He's encamped about his house to protect you, because it's going to get real shaky here very, very soon. It's getting so right now. It's getting to where a person can go outside go swimming on the beach. I don't know what fool would want to do that right now, but I've got articles here in this stack somewhere that says, you know, it shows how dangerous the beaches are, how dangerous the cities are, how dangerous even the world very close to the house of Yahweh here, how much sickness can be picked up from those, from just getting out in those places. It's a thing that you really don't want to put your body to right now. Your body needs to be, in fact, this is what I pray for, that Yahweh will keep you strong and keep your mind strong so you can understand this. It's not an easy thing to understand all of this. And this is the main part, too. We're coming down to the very end here. Damascus, which you see under siege right now with rockets flying from all direction into it and terrorists wading in that are being paid to do so. They're being paid by the major nations. Everyone knows this. It's in the newspaper articles. Well, Tyre at that time, Satan was using it to try to block Yahweh's work and try to interrupt his work. And certain things are named like Galilee, where it's located. Then Abraham, he has words there from Abraham to this. And then Melchizedek. And now this city dates all the way back there, way back there, one of the beginning cities. It was Hebrew. Now get this, please. What do I mean by Hebrew? It means they spoke the Hebrew language. Yes, these were Israelites. In fact, Solomon, they said, garnished Syria and Damascus with Israelites when he was king at that time. And those people are still there. That is, their children are still there, still raising in that area. But at the same time now, Damascus, with its position and the prophecy that's ahead for Damascus, Damascus plays, or the prophecies all rest with the destruction that takes place with Damascus. They all rest on Damascus. All of these prophecies from Abraham, Genesis, before Abraham, all of these prophecies that were written down through Revelations, all of them rest. That is, they close with this destruction that is prophesied against Damascus. Now, anyone can watch the news and see what's taking place with Damascus. It's already started. The great nuclear wars, which could pull one blow from Israel with a nuclear bomb, could pull Russia and China both into the war, which would also pull the United States in. They're all tied together. It's a very complicated setup. But they've got to protect their allies. If they don't, they wouldn't be trusted. Well, with all of that in mind now, keep in mind that the time is very short. And keep in mind, fear not. Yahweh said, fear not, I'm with you. I'm going to get you through this. When you walk through the fire, I'll be there with you. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you!